The Lord have me to say.
Father, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house again this morning. I don't know if it's going to be long or short, but I pray, Lord, help us this morning. I've been kind of stuck on the concept and the thought of Lot and his life and some things that's transpired in his life and how we can make application in ours. And I've heard a lot of different messages preached on him. And I just, if Lord help me this morning, I want to really just kind of put forth the thought that's kind of on my heart is just Lot's leadership. And before I get to that, I do want to point out some things in Abraham and just an example here and do a compare and contrast, just even though on Abraham's side it's going to be kind of short. But if you got your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 18. And I'll begin reading in verse number 16. Again, chapter 18 of Genesis and verse number 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now pay attention to verse number 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, and to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he said, at which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Again, pay attention to that last sentence. Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Keep that in your mind. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? As verse 24 says, Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? And of course, we know this record. I'm not going to continue to read all the way down, but he said also, he said, Peradventure, will you destroy it for the sake of 45, and then 40, then 30, then 20, and it got all the way down to 10. He says, And for the sake of 10 righteous, I shall not destroy it. And said, we know where Lot's at in here, but I want you to see something right here, verse number 19. He says, For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So we see Abraham as a righteous man. We see some things in this just that one verse of scripture there, and how he's going to command his home. In other words, that word command, actually I looked that up this morning according to the Webster's 1828 now. According to that Webster's 1828, it says command, to bid, to order, to direct, to charge, implying authority and power to control and to require obedience. Now, I really want to think, let's lay that out there, that Abraham, he's going to lead his household, and that's a good example right there to how a man should lead his household, how a man should live, how a man should conduct himself in the midst of his family, and in the midst of his acquaintances, his friends, and people he may come across. So that's not only just his family, but in general, how a man should conduct himself in a daily. Now, if we turn over to Genesis 19, in the beginning, verse 1, it says, There came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold now, my lords,
turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. Now, there we go. We see him. He's referring to himself as a servant of the Lord. Right there, he says, turn into your servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go now on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and he turned unto them, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and he baked unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young. Take note of this: all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this house this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. I'd say by this point that's a little late for that, but we'll continue on. It says, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known a man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and ye do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. In other words, he's saying, who's this man to judge us? He's not one of us. He's not a part of us. Who is he to sit here and say these things? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou hear any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? See, now pay attention to that there. It says son-in-law and the sons and daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Most of those are plural. Take note of that. For we will destroy this place because of the cry of them that is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto the sons-in-law. That's plural again there, so think on that. Which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And he seemed as one that mocked unto the sons-in-law. So again, there he is. Hey, what are you talking about? You ain't got no right to say nothing to us. So his testimony is marred, and we'll get there. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot and said, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon his hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, which I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. The Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and the plain and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now I want to stop there. This record right here is a really, really good layout of Lot's leadership. It's a really good layout of the testimony that he had upon that city. It's a real good testimony of what his priorities was as concerning his family, as concerning his faith, as also concerning his daily routine. Now, if you've read this, which I'm pretty sure there's a great many of here that have and have a knowledge of what this is, what the Bible said, but concerning how Lot came to Sodom, we saw that he looked towards this well-watered plain. To me, I can't help but see Lot's mind, the gears turning there, and seeing this well-watered plain. Before all of this come to pass, he sees a life of convenience. He sees a life of ease, a life of monetary gain, a life that's going to be what he thinks is going to be prosperous for him and his family. And I can't help but wonder if we are in that day, if we're looking at things today as if to say that's the easy road. I mean, a lot of our life today, we look at life in a general sense as if it is that well-watered plain. We see this easy road. Things are laid out before us. The grass is greener on the other side, so to speak. We see a lot of these things in our normal daily life now. And I can't help but wonder why in Abraham, if you see how his description of how he was to lead his life, it's basically condensed to one verse. All that righteousness, all that life is really, I mean, granted, we have the record of Abraham's life, but the description of his, the culmination of that is, for I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. And yet we see Lot's description of his life from the beginning there when he came to Sodom until the day even after this, until the day that he died, we see so much pain and so much loss and so much just complete contrariness to the Word of God. We see so much that's just, you can't help but wonder in yourself, is this even a saved man? Is this even God's man? But the Bible said that he was counted under righteousness. I'm not saying that we should condone that style of life, but I see this as a warning to all of us to say this is some things that the cost of sin in the life of a righteous man if you just completely disobey God. I can't help but see here, I mean, he was even going to give up his two young daughters who know not a man. He was going to sacrifice them. I mean, you think back there, there was 10, the Lord even said, for the sake of 10, I will spare the city. So just in his own family, in the description of what was said, he said, you know, for his sons-in-laws, so he's had to have two daughters who had been married, so that's a minimum of two, so that would make four, so there should have been four on just on that. He said he had sons, so that's a minimum of two, so that makes six. His daughters who know not man, that's two more, that's a minimum of eight. Not counting his wife and himself, so that's 10 alone. So just in his immediate family, he should have had 10 alone that would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah. But for the lackness in his leadership and the lackness of his righteousness in his life, it cost all of their lives. For the sake of 10. Had he just led his household, had he just conducted himself in a righteous way, even amongst the people, at this point in time he had no testimony before them. Or if what testimony he did have was more to the point where he had no standing. He had nothing to stand on. Even when he went to his own sons-in-law, to his own family, they seemed as one at mocks. He had no standing even amongst his own home. What does that tell us today? in today's society, how easy is it for us to have all these things? I mean, I have the hardest time. I fight with my children over just some simplest things. And it's all my own fault because I allow it. Now, granted, my children are, I love my children. And I'm afraid for them. Because I've been stuck on this for a really good while now. Almost a little over a month, I've been kind of meditating on Lot. I've been trying to read even over into Exodus and study on Moses, and I can't quite get there because everything just brings me right back to Lot. And I just see the picture of the society today and churches today where families are splitting apart and families are failing and men and women, the husbands and wives are splitting apart. There's so much division in the home, and it's not only splitting the homes, but it's splitting the churches. I mean, here we are. We've gotten to a point in Sodom. Granted, I can't see at any point in time where there was ever any real testimony or presence of God in Sodom, with the exception of this. But Lot, he was counted unrighteous. So there was a presence of righteousness. There should have been a presence of righteousness there. Now, whether or not Lot should have went down that way or whether or not he should have stayed with Abraham, that's to be seen. But we have an understanding that he went after these convenient ways, these easy ways, this so-called easy money. The Bible even says a man cannot serve God and mammon,
right.
The word itself. And then there's confusion and even in today's society about that. That's nothing more than a word. The word mammon is nothing but a word. It implies both monetary gain, but it implies a lot of other things. Putting a deification on an inanimate object is going to take you away from the things of God. Anything that can take you away from the things of God will can fall into that category. So we're living in that day. I mean, here we all would talk about that even over in Revelation chapter 3, where there's going to be a great falling away. There's going to be a great falling away. People are going to be neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And I can see, I don't know if you can, but I see a lukewarmness in Lot's life that kept him from being able to serve God and kept him being able to testify to those people that hey, not only was that only in his own family, but look at the cost of the people there. It cost all of their lives. Because God was not magnified. Lord, help us in this day. I can't help but walk out these doors, and I've heard on the radio how our economy is booming, how there's less people on unemployment. There's so many people who've got jobs now. It just seems like the grass is awful green nowadays. When we look at that word command over in chapter 18, we see where it says to command obedience, to require it. And if we were to require it in our own homes from our children and those that are with us, I mean, where is it that it's not required in the church house? That we're required to be obedient to God's command. Why would that be any different? But yet we come in here, there's some standards that should be in the church house that's being bypassed in this day. There's some standards in Lot's life that were completely just thrown to the side just so he could... Hey, Romans 12, I believe it is, it's Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." I see a person here, Lot. I see him as a person who conformed himself to everything out there. Not that he may have done it, but that he said, "Okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to stand, and I'm just going to let it happen." Hey, these people, regardless of whether you stand or not, they're going to do what they want to do. But the idea of it is, we need to stand. Fathers, we need to stand in before our children and our wives. Fathers, we need to stand before our family and our acquaintances that they may see the light that is in us. Matthew 5:16 says, "So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works."
Amen,
I say Lot's life, his light is pretty dim, if any. I'd say that's a fire that's more or less just smoldering. There might be some coals there. Man, I've gotten that way. And sometimes I need somebody to come by my way and fan the flames and get that fire going every now and then. You don't know what it means to me sometimes to have somebody text me. Just the other day, I mean, I was feeling mighty bad. I was just under such a load. I got a text from Brother Todd, and it just lifted me up. That helped me. Just to think that somebody was thinking about me and praying for me. The Bible also tells us, forsake not the gathering yourselves together, that you might exhort one another in the faith. In this day, we need some exhortation. We need some fanning going on in our home. We need to be praying more. I need to be praying more. I need to take a lot of that we out of it and just put me on it. I don't know about you. I mean, I'm not trying to preach. And this is just really, in all honesty, I had nothing. I had the intent of just coming in here and giving you some facts of how Lot's life, and maybe God help us. But you never know what God's going to do in these situations. You never know what God could have done had Lot just lived his life the way he knew to live it. And he didn't. He got complacent. He got lax. He got lazy. Guess what? I'm lax. I'm lazy. I'm telling you, sometimes, I mean, and you know, the thing of it is, what really confirmed my heart to what's been said today is what Derek said to me first thing this morning. He asked me, he says, Brother Chris, how do you do it? How do you work like this and find time to make time for the Lord? How do you do it? I get it. This so-called life, it's awful crazy how these conveniences come along and all of a sudden you're just too busy. But we've got a convenient life. It's at our fingertips. How is it that we are too busy? I see Lot has a lot of conveniences there. A lot of conveniences. You know, a lot of these so-called conveniences cause you to trust in yourself and not God. You ever thought about that? How easy is it for us to go down here to the grocery store? That's a modern convenience. And how often do we sit there and say, well, I got to go to the grocery store, I got to get this, and you never, ever give God any glory in providing it. Because it was, in reality, God was the one who provided it. We take these things for granted. It's really what it comes down to. And I see that a lot in Lot's life. He took these things for granted. In reality, I mean, we do that on a daily basis. You take these things for granted. You go about your daily life. All these things are laid out, and it's so easy. Just touch a button and do this and do that and do these things. And all of a sudden, before you blink, it's all done and over. You ever thought about that? I could have swore my daughter was born just last week. I know it was, but here she is, 6 years old, and she's in kindergarten. What happened? It's so easy nowadays. It's just poof and it's gone. I'm pretty sure Lot probably had a lot of good intentions about how he's going to live his life. He's going to go down there and all these things are going to be so easy. And his family's going to have it so good. And all of a sudden, wait a minute, my daughters are married off. They have husbands and families of their own. And I've got all this over here going on. I mean, what happened to my life? All these things had transpired and only four made it out. You ever thought about that? I can't help but look back in my own family and see some things. Good intentions have come along. And we've always, and individuals are taking these jobs just because they promise more money and promise better benefits and all these things. And it really just pulled you away. And it pulled you out of the will of God. It got you away from fellowship. It got you out of these things. Hey, if you want to know some things that I tell you that will certainly hurt you more than anything, husband and wife, do something that will pull you away from your family more so and drive a wedge between you and your wife and see how long you can have communion with God. Do these things that will pull you away and get you so ragged out and so tired to the point you can't hardly think anymore, and then see how long you lay that by, even if it's beside your bedside, see how much you pick that Bible up to read it. See how much more you pray when all these things, I'm going to get these bills paid, I'm going to get all this monetary gain, and things will be so much better. And I tell you what, you're going to blink, a week has gone by, and you ain't prayed the first time. I've done it. I failed. All this convenient modern age That well-watered plain caused Lot to not lead. And really what kicks me on this is right here. I said, where he was, even in the midst of all that going on, where he was, but verse number 26, 19, he says, but his wife looked back from behind him. Men, you're never going to lead your home out in the front. You're never going to command your home out in front. You think about that in a military sense. Where's the generals at? In the back where they can see all. Where's the men of God whenever they stand to present a message to you from the pulpit? Where are they at? They're looking out at all of you. They can see all of you. They can see it. If there's something wrong with you, they can see it in your face. If Lot would have been directing his house, directing his family, where he should have been at the back, even in this day, in that day, whenever they brought out of Sodom, if he would have had some kind of unction to get behind his family and push and prod and keep his wife turned, would she have looked back? Maybe. I don't know. But the idea is he should have been behind his family pushing them, commanding them, directing them. Where was Moses? Was it the Amalekites? He was out there fighting the children of Israel. Was it, they stand up on that Moses? I can't remember the exact people, but they were standing up on that mountainside looking. He was able to see the whole battle, holding up his arms. He was able to see all of them and direct. Even in our military today, that's still something that the commanders are afar off and they're able to see all of their forces and direct. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be all this time that a man shouldn't get out there and carve a path, because there's going to be times that is called for. But in a leader's sense, the man should be pushing and doing the work in the back. Now, I know that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, because I don't know about you, but I probably would have been at the head of that pillar too, hightailing it out of there. But the thing of it is, people, we're in a day now today where we can't afford not to push. We can't get lax and complacent. We can't afford these things in this day. Lot's leadership was a miss. It was afar off. A lot of his leadership failed across the board, and it cost him his family. It cost him them people in that city their life. Granted, I'm not saying that him alone cost all that, because they're responsible for their own actions, as with you or anybody else. But had Lot done what he did, I guarantee you he probably would have had those 10 in his family. If he would have lived the way he should have had at least 10 professing minimum. Whether or not they would have been saved, who knows? I can't say that. And I'm not going to even try. But look at what Brother Tonkin's doing out here in Brazil amongst the people that previously had no understanding of who God is and how God can work in the midst of a people who have no understanding of who God is, what God has done, and yet a man of God went in amongst them, and how God is working in that. I mean, Brother Tonkin testified to that. So it wouldn't have been no different. I mean, here, Lot is equated to a man who's sojourning. He's a pilgrim. He's just there passing through. He's on a temporary stay. So what kind of difference in our life can be made if we would just stand and lead and direct and command and just be obedient? I need help with that. I'm continuously needing some push and help. I don't know about you, but when I come in, I mean, there's Sundays I get so frustrated, even when we turn the radio on. I don't want to turn the radio on, because I'm just looking to get here. I don't want to have conversations sometimes. Don't believe me? Ask my wife. I don't want to have a conversation. I just want to get to church so I can feel the presence of God. I just want to feel it. especially on these weeks where there's so much coming at me from 500 different directions and I don't know how I can react, then it seems like I haven't read or been able to pray, I haven't been able to get through. It's a good thing to want to come in here and just have some kind of semblance of peace. It's just nice. I mean, think about it. If you read chapter 18 from the very beginning there, you talk about how the angels came there and they were talking to Abraham about how Sarah was going to have a baby and she scoffed and she laughed in herself. I mean, you know, the thing about it is there was some fellowship there. They had to prepare. They prepared a calf. They made bread. So there was some time spent there with God. All that stuff right there. I mean, just to be able to sit down and have a meal in that day took some work. I'm sorry, and it wasn't just whip out a can or something and open it up. It wasn't just pull a bag off the shelf, unroll it, open it up, the little twist tie, pull your bread out. It wasn't like that in that day. You had to get out there and knead that dough. Uncle Robert might know a little bit about that back in his younger years. But I'm telling you, we've got an awful convenient in this day. We think we can just walk in the house of God. All right, it's Sunday. Here's my 2 hours. All right, I'm going home. Hey, we need to get back to the idea of just having some time. Yeah. It took time to be able to sit down and have a meal in that day. And it took time for you think about that, to be able to beg God before, Abraham before God there. He said he stood before the Lord, even as God was headed down towards to Sodom. He stood yet before the Lord and said, you know, for the sake of 50, for the sake of 45, for the sake of 40, 30, 20, 10. That took some time. I'd say it took some time with Jonathan on his face before God put it in his heart that it's clear. It took some time within my own life for God to work some things in my life before he called me from that pew. I'm telling you, it takes time. It's not something that we can just come in, snap our fingers, and it's done. If you want it, you got to come in. You got to be willing to put in the time. I'm pretty sure reading this, Lot did not put the time in. And it makes me afraid for my family. It makes me afraid for my two children. It makes me afraid for acquaintances. I don't know about you, but I get extremely hot-headed. Especially at work. Because people say things, people do things. And they seem to sudden. I don't know how it happens, but it always seems to want to just take it. It's almost like I could take a pry bar and just wedging it in there and trying to pry on my heart. Son. And all it does, and I let it get that way. All these things that want to pull me away from God, I let it. It's not that I'm just wanting to be that way, but I let it. We let it. We let these things pull us away from God. Lot let all of that happen in his life for a long, long time. That wasn't just an overnight thing that happened with Lot. That was a long time. I don't know about you, but I see some things in my life that I need to address in reading these things, that I need help with. If God's going to walk with me, and God's going to help me, and if I'm to help someone else. Lot's leadership cost him. How he conducted himself cost him. I understand we have needs in this state. We need to work. We need to pay bills. We need a roof over our heads. But sometimes we need to evaluate our position in God. We need to evaluate where we're at and that people might see us shining a light for God and not hurting our testimony. We need to build our testimony rather than break it down. I need to tear the walls of this world down around me so that people can see the light. Because, see, that's what happens when we bring all these things in, these phones, this internet, these things that will put a wedge in there. All it does is build a wall around us. It takes the light that we're shining, and all it does is just put a blind. It's like a blinder. That's all it is. We need to think about that a little bit. How are we going to conduct ourselves in our daily life? How are we going to lead our homes? Some of us ain't got homes yet. Some of us are coming up. Some of us ain't got children yet. You know, it's a lot of these things I never knew anything really about, really. I didn't have that teaching. But it's right here. I have it. I have a record that I can look back at. And I mean, if you look at it, and that's why John 5:11, and this is a record that God has given us unto us this life, and his life's in his Son. We have a record. We can't say we didn't know. Lot can't say he didn't know. Look who he walked with. Look who he is with. He was counted under righteousness. At one point or another, he had to walk with God. At some point or another, he turned his back. At one point or another, we all turn our backs at some point or another, because we're still in this Adamic body. We don't have to stay there. Amen. Preacher, I'm done. I appreciate you this morning hearing me.
Amen, brother. Appreciate you taking the message here. Amen. I need to hear that.